Hello and welcome to Tacos Tuesday. Again, I'm your host, Trevon Heath. For the last few episodes, we've kind of been teasing that something really special was coming up, and today is that day. Today I'm joined with Stephen Pope, the founder and CEO of My Amazon Guy. How's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Regarding SEO, you're one of the thought leaders going into this industry and why it's actually important. But just for my listeners, I would just like to ask, what is SEO and why is it different on Amazon compared to other platforms?
So we have a lot of data inside of Amazon that's being released for the first time. And it's interesting to see like what we can do today that we could never do before, right? So everybody knows SEO on Google or your website. Okay, I program some keywords on the website and I'm done, right? I just set it and forget it. On Amazon, you can continuously rotate your keywords and get new results, right? So if you change your title once every 30 days, you change the search term field once every 60 days or whatever cadence you decide, you will see additional keywords index and rank higher, right? So index, show them in the top 300 of a search result. Rank, show at the top of that 300 result, right? So you want to focus on both indexing and ranking. And at My Amazon Guy, we use multiple phases of SEO where initial phases we're targeting indexing. Later on, we're targeting ranking. And then our final newest phase, SEO phase 4, is about market share. There's this really cool use case that I have for one of my brands called Age of Sage, and there's some smudge kits, and there's a keyword called Sage Candles for Cleansing House. Now, my product is not a candle, and so I did not have this in any of my copy. It was not something I was focused on. However, through broad match and auto campaigns, I started picking up on this keyword. And so I had 2.75% of the impression share for a 3,000 search volume keyword. And what's interesting is that the search query report, it was showing that this was a huge opportunity for me. And I like to talk about tornadoes and pyramids. So in marketing, your funnel should normally be a tornado where it's really thick and tall on the top, right? This is where you're getting eyeballs, you're getting your impressions up here. And I call it the ICAP marketing funnel: impressions, clicks, add to carts, purchases. And so normally you would have a higher percentage of impressions versus the clicks versus your add to carts versus the purchases. And it gets thinner down the funnel you go. In my instance, on this one keyword, I didn't have a tornado. I had a pyramid, which means it was inverted. So I had a smaller percentage of the impressions, 2.75%, and then my click percentage of the market share was over 7%. And then as it went down through the pyramid, it got even bigger when it went to add to carts and purchases. So I started focusing my time and attention on this keyword. Well, after 6 weeks, I went from a 2.75% impression share to 7.52% impression share. And my clicks went from 7.5% to 20%, which means I now own one out of all five clicks on a 3,000 search volume keyword. That's pretty incredible if you think about it. This is a single keyword where I'm getting hundreds of clicks a month that I wasn't the previous month. So 20% of 3,000 search volume. So then add to carts went from 9% to 21%. My purchases went from 6.5% to 18.75%. in less than 7 weeks. So I completed an entire market domination strategy on a single keyword using the ICAP marketing funnel that I came up with: impressions, clicks, add to carts, purchases, using the search query report. So there's just a lot of awesome data that you can go in and do it, right? And part of the way that I made the impression share increase and the clicks increase is I added the phrase to my title. Again, I don't sell a freaking candle, but if you looked at the search query results, my product was getting more clicks than the candles. And then after I put it in my title, I created an extra PPC campaign. And then I added it to my A+ content and my search terms and my alt text. And then all of a sudden, 7 weeks later, I've more than tripled my capacity and my sales on this keyword. So it was just a really cool case study of how SEO can be so meaningful.
Wow. I think SEO in general is usually the number one thing major corporations or anyone sitting at home is leaving money on the table. Most companies, I would say, think that there's a this set it and forget it mindset where we just put our copy that we have on our website, we throw it on Amazon because it's the same people purchase and the same behavior is going to happen. But generally on Amazon, everyone is agnostic and is looking to see what fits, what actually fits what they're looking for. And they're not brand loyal compared to going to a mall or going into Walmart, for example. So I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask 1,000 people, what was the last item you bought on Amazon? And guy one says socks, and guy two says, I bought this Gidget or Gizmo or whatever. And then the second question you ask, what was the name of the brand you bought from? Like maybe 1 or 3% of them could answer that question, right? So brand agnostic. So you really have to acquire your customers. Now, of course, you know, they're coming out with new things where you can market old customers and remarket the lists. And if you get follows on your brand store, then you can send emails and stuff. This is all cutting edge and new kind of stuff, but not at the moment, a lot of brands paying attention.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first question that I generally hear through my work with SEO is, how do I maximize my title and description for ranking? What is your general approach?
So I look at the top 10 competitors and I'll run a keyword gap analysis and we'll create what's called a master keyword list. And essentially what you're doing is you're averaging all of the keyword factors, the impression count of the search query, how many of your 10 competitors are ranking on it. And then we'll assign a value from top to bottom for those keywords. And if we know that these five keywords are showing up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're all high volume keywords, we know these five keywords, they need to be in our title, right? Like the title writes itself based on the data. Now you could pepper in a couple of feature statements around those keywords or some, you know, some size attribute or whatever you have. But by and large, you need to look at what your competitors are ranking for that are high ticket item, high ticket value keywords. As you progress down to bullets, you can get more in depth into features. And as you get down to A plus content, make sure you have 500 words of crawlable text in your A plus content and 100 characters per photo in the alt text. And you're going to replicate the keywords. Right. So in phase one and two of SEO for my Amazon guy, we're all about indexing. Right. So in phase one, you're going to have words in the search term field that you would also have in the title. But in phase two, we rotate them out. And the reason we include it in phase one is because we've found repeatedly that you index faster if you include it on a new product launch. As you progress, then once you get to 1,000 keywords indexed and 50 keywords in the top ranks of 20 through 50, you can then go to phase three, which is the strike zone update. And these are keywords that are going to produce for you with minimal amount of effort, but they're really just kind of at the bottom of page one, top of page two. They're not producing for you today. So we call it the strike zone update. And then you go in there and you sort your keywords by rank 20 through 50. You can use a tool like Helium 10. There's many tools you can do this with. And then create that list and do the same thing. Okay, of this list, which ones are the most valuable? Sort it by impressions. Okay, I'm going to chase these three keywords. I'm going to rotate it in my title. I'm going to rotate it in my bullets, my description, my A-plus content, my alt text, and my search term field. And you just repeat this continuously over and over again. Because guess what? When you rotate to the next set, the old set, 9 out of 10 times, maintains its ranking. So once you rotate it and you focus on it, you maintain your past ranking. So you continually add to the new stuff. And if it doesn't, if it's the 1 out of 10 result, you can always revert it or just keep rotating for new value chasing.
Wow, that's super interesting. And I really love that you touched on like dynamically changing your SEO all the time. Because I think a lot of companies are making the mistake also when they do actually invest in SEO. They don't realize it's a continuing process. It's like changing your oil in your car. It's constantly updating and making sure that you're at optimal performance. What is your rule of thumb in dynamically changing your SEO? And how often is keyword trending data influencing that?
Every 30 to 90 days, we're doing a full update on every SEO field as much as possible with a focus point, right? So that doesn't mean change every word of copy on your listing. Obviously, that'd be a lot of effort, maybe not be worth it. But it does mean focus in on 3 to 5 keywords for that month and try and rotate them in for execution and for value, right? So that's really kind of the cadence and whatnot. As for trends, I like to sell wine glasses and mugs and stuff. And I've got a printer and I've got a manufacturing plant. So I've got an Age of Sage brand and a Mobster brand. I also sell holsters with a brand called Holsted. Completely public with all of our brands and what we're doing and what our successes and what our not successes are, because it's all kind of just a fun hobby for me, right? 95% of my income comes from the agency. And so I do these things so I understand the pain points of business owners, and I go through the motions. And so I'll deal with all the catalog troubleshooting and all those problems and stuff like that. One of the reason I brought this up, there was one of the mugs I recently launched was called Megapint. And it was off the Johnny Depp Amber trial, right? And the lawyer said something stupid about Johnny drinking a Megapint. And then all of a sudden this thing was like top three trended words in the world. And so we made a mug in less than a week of understanding and looking at this trend. And then we sold thousands of these things, just thousands of them, right? And then I'm like, okay, everybody else is going to focus on this product. So what can we do to add additional edge and value so we can stay ahead of the competition? I know, let's throw a freaking eye patch in, right? So now I'm selling a Megapint tumbler with an eye patch, which is, you know, nobody does this, right? Just nobody. And you mentioned trends. And so we looked at the data and we looked at the keyword data and we followed the trend. I'll give you a second example. Mother's Day. So in 2020, I launched a product, 2021, I launched a product right before Mother's Day. And in 4 weeks, I sold this mom box that sold $144,000 in 4 weeks. And if you looked at the keyword gifts for mom, it had increased about 70 to 80% in search volume 3 years running. So if somebody's like, oh, you can't launch on Amazon anymore, it's too late. Let me tell you, there are still categories that cannot meet the demand. And there are categories that are meeting the demand, but there's new niches being created and sub niches and certain products, right? And so I launched a product with basically zero reviews, with no external traffic, and took advantage of the keyword trend data, gifts for mom, and made $144,000 in 4 weeks. I spent $11,000 on ads. And what's really interesting is that 5,000 of that was on a single keyword, broad match gifts for mom. So if you think broad match is still not cool, let me tell you, it is. It works. So there's all kinds of trends and data you can chase. And depending on what your goals are, you can make it work. It's not too late to sell on Amazon. It's not passive income. It's a lot of work, but the data is clear on what to do.
Yeah, I agree, especially now with all the reporting that Amazon continually adds. Like, I would say probably early in my career, 3 or 4 years ago, Amazon was very reclusive in what you actually could utilize. You had your keyword data from the regular search term report, and you would kind of have an idea of what's working well, but you had no idea of the actual market share. Now that we do, you can make actual real decisions to optimize and find those gaps, like you were saying.
One of the things that stinks, though, is that in the search career performance report, you can't export it, which is stupid, and you can't get it down to the ASIN level, which is also dumb, right? So you only get this data down to the brand level. But with that said, about 2 weeks ago, Amazon released an update to the API where you can now get real-time bidding and data. And so instead of waiting 48 hours, you now get real-time sales data to know, like, okay, between 2 and 4 p.m., my product has the highest conversion rate, right? So there's a lot of data that Amazon's releasing, and they have to because they're freaking out of room. They're out of room in the PPC, right? You load any listing search query up on Amazon right now, and like the entire above the fold is an ad. There's a headline ad, and then there's 4 sponsored ads, and then you scroll down a little bit, and then there's another row of sponsored ads or highly rated section that looks like it's not an ad, but it's totally an ad. And then you go down further, and it's like, oh, there's a video ad, and then here's some more sponsored product ads. And so it's like 80% of the real estate is taken. So what happens is Amazon's now making money on ads. Well, if that's the case, at some point, there's going to be a level playing field with Google and Facebook. And so they have to give the amount of data that Facebook and Google gives. Otherwise, people are not going to spend money on Amazon ads, which will be bad for Amazon.
I don't think that's ideal for them at all. One of the general things that I think the public doesn't really know to understand how their SEO is performing is A-B testing. What's your general period that you use to actually determine like this is a success or this is doing poorly? How long do you usually give it?
I would say that Amazon's in-portal A-B testing is inconsequential, too slow, and not effective, right? 4 to 6 weeks to run an A/B test. Yeah. Okay. It's cute. Yeah. I run an occasional one, but no, it's not really actionable and helpful enough. Do it, but it's just like way too slow. So for A/B testing purposes, there's not a really good way to A/B test SEO specifically. You can A/B test for sales and you can A/B test for click-through, but you can't really A/B test for much else. So, I'm a fanboy of PicFu. We use them all the time to run some tests and it's very, very helpful. Main image testing is directly tied to search engine optimization, because if you have a bad main image, no matter how good your copy is, no matter how good the price is, if people don't click on it because they don't understand what the product is from the main image on the search query, then you're out. And if your CTR is bad, then your SEO is bad. So these things do tie together on occasion.
That makes a lot of sense. One of the general things I know from Amazon, like the quickest way to get like these quick wins, especially if you're a smaller seller going into it, is like long tail keywords, Spanish keywords, French for us because we're Canadian. These alt languages that people are leaving off the table. Do you use that in your indexing as well through your SEO strategy as well as putting that in the listing?
Yeah. So in the search query report, as well as a Cerebro report in Helium 10 or any other keyword tool, you can see what keywords are ranking, are relevant, and have the highest search volume. So in the case of my smudge kit, I noticed that there was a lot of Spanish as it relates to cleansing the house, right? So there's a cultural phenomenon directly tied to my product. So what did I do? I put Spanish in my title. Put Spanish in my A-plus content. I wouldn't do this for every product, but my particular cultural niche, it's acceptable. So I took advantage of that and I increased my market share. The same thing I did on the Sage Candles for Cleansing House. Did the same thing for the Spanish equivalent of that for multiple cleansing terms on my Sage smudge kits. And it worked. So you can use Spanish. You can work that in. You can work it into multiple locations. And if you're like too overwhelmed by some of the tactical that we're talking about today, just here's your starting point. Just go to your search term field and put in 5 words of Spanish. Start with that. What are the 5 important Spanish words for your product? And you will start indexing in under 48 hours after you do this. And once that happens, you see your sales just get a small uptick and you're just like, okay, what Stephen Pope says is true. Okay, if that's the case, then I got to go spend more time, rewatch the podcast, and then start doing the other 80 things he talked about. But that's how I would start with it. It's just rotate in a little bit of Spanish, pepper it in somewhere. Don't use commas in your search term field. Spaces don't count against your bytes. Maximize that field first. Start there. Then go to the title. Make sure your A-plus content has 500 words of copy after you've got all those things done. And then start getting sophisticated and chasing market share.
I completely agree. A lot of people, generally, when they're listing at anything on Amazon, they're putting in all the generic keywords. If I'm selling a bar soap, they're not even trying to add in their actual niche in the copy. They're looking to put in the word soap as many times as possible, which is wasting space and additional keywords that they could be adding in. Long tail and alt languages is the number one way I would say to get like these easy wins, because you are just increasing the amount of unique keywords that you're searching for compared to your competitors.
Completely agree with that.
We're probably going to wrap this up, but what would you say is the number one mistake major corporations are making when doing their SEO?
They're setting it and forgetting it, right? Like they're like, oh, I filled in my copy and I'm done, right? SEO has such a powerful continuous optimization. I know we already unpacked that on the pod today, so I don't want to repeat myself, but I will say this. If you are not spending as much time on SEO that you spend on PPC, then you were going to spend more money that you could have organically ranked on keywords. It's a fact. And I like to use what I call the golden ratio of keywords. That is, for every one PPC keyword that you spend money on, you should index for 2 organic keywords, a 1-to-2 ratio. And I call it the golden keyword ratio. And if your product is out of perspective with that ratio, that means one of two things. Either you're not developed enough on your SEO, which means you probably didn't put 500 words of copy in your A-plus content, or you're overspending on your PPC, because it's almost never the case that will look at a listing and, oh, they index for 10,000 keywords, but they only advertise on 50. Like, that just never happens. But every day, we see, oh, there's 1,000 keywords that they're spending money on PPC and 1,000 keywords index, which means there's 1,000 keywords that you could have indexed for had you paid attention to what your competitors are indexing for. So running those keyword gap analysis, I think, is the fundamental thing to be able to impact this and make it make sense to businesses. But it is a sunk cost. It's not like I spend time on a Monday and I get sales by Friday. And that's the reason why people aren't willing to do short-term pain for long-term gain.
That makes a lot of sense. To all those like major corporations out there, your in-house person probably doesn't know Amazon like that. He or she doesn't know exactly how to make that copy translate to generating sales and ranking. So actually doing analysis and going in or hiring agencies is probably the best way to see yourself actually start to gain some traction right away. Because I see a lot of actual big corporations, they start on Amazon, they gain some brand awareness, but it doesn't actually, they don't see the necessary returns like they would do as a distributor to a Walmart where they're getting these big purchases and orders. The last final question, because I don't think we touched on this really quick. A-plus content and EBC, how important is this to helping your conversion? And is it a necessary thing to make sure that your SEO pops as well?
Amazon released some data that said that A-plus content adds at least a 3 percentage point conversion rate. So that's a huge, I mean, that could be like 20 to 30% increase in conversion by adding a 3% conversion rate to your listing. So it's clearly important, right? I take up as much space as possible with A-plus content. Why? Because there's so many damn ads everywhere, right? There's ads above the A-plus content. There's ads below the A-plus content. And so taking up as much space means big, gigantic images, lots of text, big images, lots of text, big images, lots of text, followed by a product grid comparison chart with lots of text and as many check marks and keywords embedded into headers and columns as you possibly can. And if you do this, you will see a massive uptick on your indexing that is showing up on the search results for each one of these words. And if you show up in the search results, you get more clicks, you get more clicks. What happens? You start ranking for these keywords higher in the search results, and that leads to sales. So I think A-plus content is really, really important. Your 5-minute hack today, though, is go put in 100 characters of alt text behind each photo, and you will see indexing improve in under 48 hours. So test it with Spanish, test it with French if you're in Canada, and then use your best keywords in the alt text whenever possible.
Awesome. And that's all the time that we have right now. Thank you, Stephen, for giving us your time today. I think everyone kind of knows now how important SEO is, and especially with Prime Day and other big holidays that are coming up throughout the summer and the rest of the year, you guys can really use this to maximize your growth and really hit Q3 and especially Q4 as hard as possible.
It's a good plan. All right. We'll see you guys.
All right. Thank you guys so much.